This is Australia by Night on the Triple M Radio Network with Stephen Senatiempo.
Well, it's time to talk about the big issues facing the world with Alex Selios from The Big Smoke. G'day, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, why does Facebook use Australia as a testing ground for new features?
The interesting thing about platforms like Facebook and Tinder have done the same, and Spotify have done the same, is that they find that the sample set of Australians that would use the platform is small enough for it to not impact the world if it goes wrong, but it's big enough to be able to determine whether or not it's a successful feature. So a really good example would be Facebook in 2016 ran a number of tests in Australia with Facebook Messenger, and they had what they called rooms, and they were bulletin board style messaging features. Now, it didn't take off here in Australia, and they ended up discontinuing it around the world.
Okay.
And not having any of it at all. And then they also tested what they called a sticker filled content on Messenger that would expire after 24 hours. And Australia was the first English speaking nation to trial it, and then it was killed off really quickly in favor of stories. So we tend to be this, and it's the same for technology startups outside of the big ones. It seems to be that we're a bit of a testing ground. And we're sort of seen as the people to try things on, as test dummies, so to speak.
Has it got something to do with the fact that we're traditionally early adopters of technology?
I really think it's more to do with the fact that if it goes wrong, it's not a big deal if it happens in Australia.
Okay.
I mean, look, Fortune magazine once made the quote, and this was back in 2015, and it's a little embarrassing, but they said, if a product flops in the outback and no one hears about it, did it really happen?
Yeah.
And that's the mentality.
Yeah, okay, all right. So we're a bit of a backwater and they use us as such. I rail against the fact that the English language is constantly being destroyed, particularly by people in our line of work, but the Oxford English Dictionary, well, they're not doing us any favours either by the sounds of things.
So Oxford English Dictionary have decided that they want to document more around slang and I have a better understanding as to what appeals to teenagers. So they've started what is a hashtag called Youth Slang Appeal, and they want to understand what words young people use. And, you know, bear is one of them. So B-A-R-E is used as saying a lot of something. So it's an ironic term. Other terms that have been used and they're picking up on Twitter are acronyms. So for example, GOAT is an acronym for greatest of all time.
Right.
Then, of course, you've got the popular ones like squad, talking about your squad, your friends, and then fam, which is your friends, and then bae, which I didn't realise this. I thought bae was short for babe.
Yeah, so right.
Young people were just lazy, but it actually is an acronym for before anyone else.
Right. Okay. Which is kind of like a shortening of babe.
I thought it was short for babe, but it's before anyone else, yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Do they realise that 16-year-olds don't know what a dictionary is?
Yeah, but the funny thing about this is it's the way young people are using words that changes the entire context. So, for example, 10 years ago, if somebody said that somebody else was thirsty, we might believe that they were parched.
Mm-hmm.
Now, calling someone thirsty is saying that they're desperate.
Really?
Yeah. So they'll be like, oh, she's thirsty. And so, it's like, she's so desperate.
What, was the word desperate not good enough?
Apparently, it's not as good as thirsty.
I don't get it. You know, see, this is what upsets me, is there are perfectly good words that mean what they mean, and
yeah.
We've now got to take perfectly good words that mean something else and make them mean another thing altogether.
I guess it's just the whole point of the evolving lexicon. I mean, for example, if you say to somebody, you should just sip tea, that's their way of telling you to mind your own business.
Right. Okay. I have a hashtag I use for these things. That'll dead set do me.
Yeah.
Moving right along, would you buy meat from a vending machine?
I'm a pescatarian, so that helps me make the decision really quickly. And if I was a big meat eater, I don't think I would. This is a new vending machine in New York City. It's associated with a butcher, and the idea is that you can have 24/7 meat. So it's meant to be great for families who are maybe really busy and they just want to go to the vending machine, but it also is great for people who want grass-fed burgers in the middle of the night. But it's not that different to vending machines in Japan, and also there's a vending machine in France that that gives you oysters, fresh oysters.
Geez, you'd want to hope that the refrigeration was working properly in
it,
wouldn't you?
this is the thing. I mean, it's one of those meals that could go really wrong really quickly. Mm. So I'm a bit funny about this one. In New York, though, there was a huge furor over a vending machine a few years ago that made a cupcake while you were waiting. So that became really popular. But I don't know. I think meat is going too far. I think it's funny to say, you know, you could have a doner kebab at like 4 a.m. from a vending machine.
Oh, no. Hey, I've got to ask you before I let you go, because we're going to talk to a nutritionist a little bit later on in the program about veganism. What made you decide that you were going to become a pescatarian?
Well, I felt that I liked the taste of fish more than meat, more than flesh.
Okay.
But also, I do have an issue with the whole animal cruelty stuff. So I kind of feel, and I know that that's not a perfect, you should be a vegan if you really care about animals. I get that. But a pescatarian is where I've been able to draw the line. I can't. And I haven't had pork for 25 years.
Okay. See, I love pork. I love beef. Not a big lamb eater, but I get you on the seafood. I love the taste of seafood, so
I can give up meat. I just haven't been able to get rid of prawns or salmon from my diet or oysters or anything like that.
Yeah, I get it. Alex, good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks so much.
Alex Selios from thebigsmoke.com.au.